Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 124, Stocks, Broths, and Cream Soups. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I'm Roger, your host, and this is the podcast that's all about home cooking, getting in the kitchen, learning new things, having more fun. And of course, it's November 2018 as I record this. So this is a big month, as it always is, at least here in the U.S. for home cooks, because Thanksgiving kind of kicks off the holiday cooking season in earnest for us here in the United States. So I thought today it would be a really good time to talk about some fundamentals and about some things that you as a home cooker are probably going to be using a lot in the next couple of months. And that is using stocks, broths, and things like cream soups in your side dishes. But before we get into that, a couple of quick housekeeping items. Of course, you probably know by now that if you're interested in the show and you want to connect with myself and other listeners, one of the really good ways to do that is over in the Facebook group, The Kitchen Counter Coffee Break. And if you just head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/group, it will forward you to the group page where you can request to join and you come on in and do things like share recipes, share side dish recipes for Thanksgiving, ask questions, share our awesome food photos, just have good connections with everybody. It's a good group. So I highly recommend if you want to stay somewhat connected in between episodes or talk about episodes, things like that, check out the Facebook group. Of course, you can always get me via email as well over at feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. Always read my emails, respond to all my emails. And sometimes, as in today's example, an email will spur an entire show topic and we'll kind of tackle some questions that come in. And of course, if you're interested in anything I mentioned in this particular episode, you can find notes over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/124 for the show notes. And I don't know what else to talk about, so why don't we hop right into today's topic? All right, I mentioned in the intro that today's topic, stocks, broths, and soups, it's an important one, especially, you know, as a home cook. I think these are some of the things that we use a lot as ingredients in our, whether it's special occasion cooking for the holidays or even day-to-day or weeknight cooking, these sorts of ingredients come into play a lot. And today's particular episode is inspired by listener Teresa Williams, who sent me an email asking about stocks and broths. So I thought now would be as good a time as any to get into this. So I kind of built this whole episode around Teresa's question, which is this. Teresa wrote, I have an idea that I would love for you to address in an episode. I don't think this topic has been really addressed yet in any other episodes, but correct me if I'm wrong. Oh, I don't think you're wrong, Teresa. I'd like to learn more about broth and stock. What is the difference between the two? What kinds of recipes do you use one versus the other? I also would like to learn how to make my own broth or stock. When I buy a whole chicken, I usually don't use the back, bone, or the wings, and would like to utilize this by making my own chicken broth. I'm looking forward to your feedback. Thank you, Teresa. This is really important stuff to talk about as a home cook. So I'm going to frame this episode by making a lot of generalizations about things like stocks and broths. And because it's a pretty big topic, and with Thanksgiving here in the U.S. on the way, I'm going to focus on vegetable stock and chicken stock and broths. Beef stocks, seafood stocks, while the fundamentals are the same, are similar, those are topics for another day. And once you kind of get the vegetable and the chicken stock down, I think it's an easy transition to start making your own beef broth and seafood broth, even though, again, they're a little bit different. But the fundamentals of what I'm going to talk about, what makes a broth different from a stock, etc., are generally the same. So there is a lot of information on the internet about stocks and broths. And I did a lot of scanning of different websites and different message boards that go into detail on these things. And I found some really, really great information out there. And I found some really, really not so great information out there. There seems to be a wide opinion on stocks and broths, how to make them, what constitutes a good one or a bad one, a pure one or poor imitation of one, what you use them for, what you should never use them for. And if you've listened to this show for any amount of time or any number of episodes, you know probably my general philosophy on home cooking, and that is do whatever it is you feel you can accomplish in the time you can accomplish it, whether that means using 100% scratch-made ingredients in recipes at home, or whether that means using things out of a can or a box or an envelope to help you along the way, or wherever in between. I think it's important to remember that as a home cook, we have a limited amount of time, a limited amount of resources at our disposal, and things like making a good stock can take a lot of time, and we don't always have that luxury. So the first thing I want to say about any of this is don't feel like you're some sort of an inferior home cook if you're not constantly making homemade broths and stocks to use in your cooking. I use a lot of the stuff that comes in the boxes for broths and stocks, just because sometimes I don't really have time and I don't have a stock of it in the freezer to use. So, you know, not a big deal. It's not going to be a hill I'm going to die on as a home cook. However, that being said, a good homemade stock can do miraculous stuff in your kitchen. And so we're going to get into that right now. So let's kind of tackle the first question, and that's kind of a big fundamental question here. And that is, what is the difference between a broth and a stock? Again, as I said, there's a lot of definitions out there, but I would say if you wanted to be from a strictly culinary point of view, I think a working definition would be something like this. A broth is a flavored, seasoned liquid created by simmering meat and or vegetables in water. And broths are relatively quick to make, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of an hour or two, maybe. A stock is an unseasoned liquid created by simmering chicken, beef, or seafood bones and vegetables for an extended period of time. Meat broths can take upwards of 4, 6, 8 hours or longer sometimes to make. So if you take nothing else away from this, the difference between a stock and a broth, again, a stock is sort of a seasoned flavored liquid that's made from meat or just vegetables or a combination of the two, whereas a stock, the fundamental component of a stock can be all those other things that go into a broth, but the addition of bones, chicken bones, beef bones, seafood bones. The other kind of basic thing to keep in the back of your mind between a broth and a stock is you can think of a broth as sort of a finished dish in and of itself. So you can eat a broth, right? When you have the sniffles, you're not feeling well, nothing does it like a nice, steaming bowl of broth just to sip on, right? It's seasoned, it's flavored, it tastes good on its own. Whereas a stock isn't really a finished dish in and of itself. It's more of a building block or a component or a rich starting point for other things like the base for a soup, or reducing stocks often are used for tons and tons of different types of sauces. So broths, again, are seasoned and flavored in a way they can be eaten as is, whereas a stock generally is more neutral, more unseasoned in order to be incorporated into recipes and manipulated on down the way. So then the next natural question, I think, would be, well, why go through the bother of making a stock if the only difference is the addition of bones? And the short answer to that is the addition of bones does a lot more for a stock than just giving it more flavor. In fact, there's kind of a physiological reason, I guess, or a chemical reason, I'm not even sure, an alchemical reason, that you include bones in a long, slow simmering stock. That's because bones contain collagen, and that's sort of what is the primary component of all the tendons and connective tissues and sinews and things like that, that are in all of our bones or between all of our bones and things like that. By cooking down collagen that are present in those bones, you actually end up with a form of gelatin. So when you have a stock that's been cooked a long time, slowly, with lots of bones, you're going to extract a lot of the collagen. It's going to turn into gelatin, and you're going to end up with a much silkier, a much richer, and in some cases, depending on how much you reduce the stock down, you could almost have like a syrupy type of a consistency due to the presence of all that gelatin in the stock. When you reduce down a broth where there's no bones that have been used, you don't end up with that silky, syrupy consistency. You just end up with a smaller volume of liquid with more concentrated flavor. So that's a primary difference, again, between a broth and a stock. So hopefully that makes sense so far. So broth, stocks, bones, no bones, and the presence of gelatin in the stock, which is going to lend itself to different cooking uses. Now, one obvious exception to all of this that I haven't specifically talked about would be vegetable stock or broth. And I think for the home cook's purposes, vegetable stock and broth are the same thing because there are no bones. Obviously, you can't put bones in a vegetable stock and still call it vegetable stock. Then it becomes some other sort of a stock. But you can interchange vegetable broths and stocks when it calls for either in a recipe. So now that we know some of the fundamental differences between a broth and a stock, why would we use one as opposed to the other when we're cooking at home? Now, Teresa didn't ask this explicitly, but when she talks about what kind of recipes to use a stock for, what kind of recipes to use broth, the kind of natural knock-on question is there, are they interchangeable? Are you going to have bad results if a recipe calls for a broth and you use a stock and vice versa? So the short answer is not usually. You could oftentimes, as a home cook, interchange them with reasonably good results. But the long answer is there are some very specific reasons why you would want to use a stock where a broth would not work. So let's get into some of the things where you would use a broth versus a stock for, and I think it'll become a little more clear. So let's start with broths. And in fact, just a note, when you look at recipes online, I note that a lot of websites or blogs will generally use broth and stock interchangeably. And in the recipes they're using them for, most of the time I don't see an issue, but it's when we get into some specific types of sauces, things like that, where a broth just won't cut it. So let's start with broth. So why would you want to use a broth? Well, remember I mentioned earlier, you can eat a broth just heated as is, right? It's kind of a finished dish in its own right, but it's a component that can add a lot of flavor to other dishes. So for example, whenever you have a recipe that calls for water as a cooking liquid, if you want to add some more savoriness, some more flavor depth to that dish, you could probably sub in a broth. So for example, there's quite a big flavor difference if you're just making a pot of white rice, if you use just water to make the rice, or if you use, say, vegetable or chicken broth to make the rice. You're going to have a lot more flavor with the broth, right? You're going to have sort of the undertones of that vegetable or chicken broth in that white rice. It's just going to be a little more tasty. And that's where a dish where the water, the liquid is sort of incorporated into the final dish. You could even use broth when you're making things where the liquid is eventually discarded. So let's say you want to make some vegetables and it calls for simmering the vegetables and a little bit of water. Well, you could simmer the vegetables in broth instead. So you want to simmer up some green beans, well, you could simmer them in vegetable broth or chicken broth, and you're going to get a little bit more flavor out of it. Broth can be a totally acceptable base for a lot of different types of soups. So of course, if you have a nicely seasoned chicken broth, you can easily make any sort of a soup where you add in some pasta or rice, a chicken noodle soup, for example. You could certainly make all of these with just a broth. And broth makes a great, easy to go to liquid for things like gravies, pan sauces, and things like that. Just remember in general that broths are seasoned, and your final dish may need less seasoning if you're using a broth as a cooking liquid. Now, those few examples that I just mentioned, you could certainly use a stock for any of those applications. But as I mentioned, in general, stocks are unseasoned, a little more flavor neutral. Just be aware that if you're going to use a stock in those applications, you're going to probably have to do a little bit more work to build the flavor profile of the dish, because the stock might not necessarily bring all of that. Again, the stock is going to contribute some flavor, but remember, the stock really brings the body that the gelatin is going to contribute to your dish. So why would you want to use a stock then? What are the reasons that a home cook would reach for a stock instead of a broth? Well, I mentioned a second ago, you can certainly use a broth to make things like chicken noodle soup, and it will be tasty. But there's something that a nicely reduced stock with that gelatin and the rich mouthfeel and texture, kind of the velvety texture, That will bring a lot more to a soup as a soup base than a broth will. So if you have stock on hand, I would usually opt for stock as a soup base over a broth, but you know, it kind of depends on what you've got on hand. Either can do the job. However, where stocks become a little bit more necessary in a lot of cases are when you're making specific types of sauces. So for example, you may have heard about something called a glace or a demi-glace. That's spelled G-L-A-C-E. A glace is a French term for a highly reduced stock. Remember at the beginning of this segment, I mentioned that when you reduce stocks down, they could become almost syrupy or even kind of, well, like a jello consistency. That highly reduced stock, when you get it down to that, where it almost has a icy look to it, is a glace. And those can be used as a sauce as is. It can be used as a base to make other sauces, or it could even be used to make a demi-glace. A demi-glace is essentially one part stock, one part sauce, reduced to half. So in the case of chicken, it would be one part chicken stock, one part light sauce, like a velouté sauce, combined and then simmered down to reduce by half, and then you'll have a demi-glace. Those are sauces you can't really make with a broth, because again, you don't have that body that the stock brings you. You know, like the mother sauces I've talked about in a previous episode, I can't remember the number off the top of my head, but I'll put the link in the show notes, like a velouté, like I just mentioned, which is a blonde roux and a light stock, like a chicken stock, or an espagnol sauce, which is a brown sauce, right? It's more of a veal or beef stock and a dark roux. Those sauces really come out much better if you're using a stock as opposed to a broth, for all of the reasons I've already mentioned. So stocks are great building block components for other sauces, rich, creamy, velvety, smooth soups, and reductions like glosses. So those are some of the main basic reasons you would use a broth or a stock. Now let's talk about how to make them. Now, I'm going to start with a vegetable stock because it's the quickest, easiest stock to make. It only takes 45 minutes to an hour of cooking time. Of course, a little bit of prep time. But once you understand a vegetable stock, the next easy step to make a chicken stock, you're essentially just adding chicken bones and meat. So it's pretty simple to do. And I will put links to recipes for all of these things in the show notes over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/124. But don't get me wrong, there are 10,000 million recipes for broths and stocks on the internet. Just Google them, go to your favorite website, Food Network or whatever, and pick one. They're all virtually the same with some very minor changes, perhaps in the herbs or the seasonings or whatever that they put in. But there's no, you know, ultimate basic stock recipe. They're all kind of the same. It's more in the technique than the ingredients, I think. So for a vegetable stock, you know, you're looking at things like your mirepoix, which would be onion, celery, carrot. I like to put in mushrooms into my vegetable stock because it adds a little bit of some body, a little bit of a base note. And the more mushrooms rather that you put into your vegetable stock, the better of a substitute it can be for a meat stock, because it kind of really gives you that umami that meat gives you. So it's a good, compromise there. And other things like garlic, bay leaves, maybe some salt and pepper if you're going to use it as a broth. Other things you can put in to kind of increase that mouthfeel and in the richness of the flavor, like soy sauce or Worcestershire sauce, you could certainly put in. Although keep in mind, Worcestershire sauce is not vegan. It does have typically anchovies in it. So you've got your onion, your celery stalks, your carrot, you've chopped all these up, your mushrooms, your crushed garlic. And let's say you want to make a couple of quarts of this, more or less, so about 8 cups of water. You just put that into a big stock pot, bring it to a boil, and then reduce the heat and simmer it. Put the lid on the pot so you reduce the amount of liquid that evaporates, and you've got about 45 minutes to an hour to vegetable stock. When you're done, you want to strain it through a metal mesh strainer. I like to line mine with a couple layers of cheesecloth inside as well, just to catch everything, and pour it through that, and you're good to go. Now, you can either use that stock, you can refrigerate it for 2 to 3 days, or you could freeze it for 3 or 4 months and, you know, thaw it and boil it before you go to use it. But it's as simple as that. I mean, it's just basically simmering vegetables in water with some herbs and maybe a little bit of seasoning to get your vegetable stock slash broth. Now, it gets a little more complicated when we go to something like a chicken or even a turkey stock. While the ingredients are only slightly different, I mean, we're basically just talking about the addition of chicken bones and a little bit of chicken meat, for example, the time required to make our traditional chicken stock is a lot longer. We're talking maybe in the ballpark of 5, 6, 7 hours, you know, maybe even up to 8 hours if you're cooking at a really, really low temperature to barely a simmer. Now, the chicken stock recipe that I like to use is actually Alton Brown's chicken stock recipe. I'm a really big fan of this recipe for a couple of reasons. One, it's a volume thing. It makes a ton of chicken stock that I like to freeze and put away, so I have a little bit in the freezer. Hopefully when I need it, I can thaw it and use it. But it's also a very flavorful chicken stock. It's almost a broth. With a little extra seasoning, I mean, it would get there for you. But rather than walk through the recipe step by step, just think about the vegetable stock recipe we just talked about with a few extra herbs and, of course, the addition of chicken parts. And you've basically got your ingredients list for a chicken stock. Now, you can use either already cooked chicken parts, like a leftover from a rotisserie chicken or a roasted chicken, for example, or you can use raw. Either one will work. If you use already roasted or already cooked, just note that your broth might be a little bit darker and richer in color and maybe a little bit in flavor. But beyond that, either one will work. And you want to use the parts of the chicken that will have the most collagen-rich parts. So, for example, breastbones are fine, but wings, backbones, the neck of the chicken is going to have a lot more collagen. It's going to give you a lot more bang for your buck in your final stock. So a lot of folks, what they'll do is when they're done with the chicken, I think Teresa even mentioned it in her question in her email, right? She's got usually the wings and the backs left. Well, you want to get, for this particular recipe, you're looking for about 4 pounds. So it might take a couple of chickens, right? A few chickens to get through that. But what you can do is just save those pieces that you're not using in your dish, like the wings in the back, throw them in a container in the freezer or a Ziploc freezer bag, and just save them up until you have enough to make stock. And then you can take those out and toss them in the pot with all the other ingredients, and you're off to the races. Now, also, whereas vegetable broth only took about 45 minutes to an hour, as I mentioned, this is going to take multiple hours. So this is really, this particular method, I'll talk about a faster way in a second, but this particular method is really something where you've got to be around and sort of present. It doesn't take a lot of active cooking, but you have to be there to check on it. You have to be there to kind of skim the impurities and the scum that comes up while you're simmering it through the cooking time. You just got to kind of keep an eye on it. You know, but after 6 or so hours of really slow simmering in that big stock pot full of water, you're going to have a great chicken stock ready to go. And just like the vegetable, you're going to pour it through a cheesecloth lined strainer to get all the solids out, and you're going to end up with a beautiful, rich, golden chicken stock that, again, you can either use within a couple of days refrigerated, or you could use, of course, right away that day, or you can cool it and freeze it for, you know, 3 or so months. As I mentioned, I'll put recipes in the show notes. Now, there's a quicker method that you can use to make chicken stock, which won't be available to all of you, but if you own a pressure cooker, like an Instant Pot or a traditional pressure cooker, you can actually make chicken stock in about an hour or less of actual cook time. Because of the way the pressure cooker works, it just goes to work on that, the bones and the connective tissue, much faster. You're still going to end up with a very rich, beautiful, and some say even a better stock than the slow simmering stock pot method that you get on the stovetop. Now, in general, you can make only a smaller quantity of stock, right? So a big stock pot, you might be able to make 8 quarts of stock. In a Instant Pot, you're probably going to get away with just a couple of quarts of finished stock. So keep that in mind. But, you know, if you can make stock in about an hour, then maybe you only need to make a couple of quarts at a time because you can make it more frequently or whatever. Anyway, I will put a link to that method in the show notes as well. It's essentially the same ingredients, just a smaller quantity, and a lot lot smaller amount of time required. Now, I have some general tips I want to share on stocks and broths. And then as soon as I'm done with that, I'm going to talk briefly about how to make cream soups from your stocks, which, cream soups are kind of a staple when it comes to holiday cooking, side dish cooking, things like that. But here are five or six tips, I would say, when you're making stocks or broths. And actually, the first one has nothing to do with making your own, and I sort of mentioned it earlier. But especially around the holiday times, it's imperative, whether you're making your own stock or broth or not, you should always, always, always have a few cans or boxes of the store-bought stuff in your pantry. Because, as we've been talking about, you can't whip this stuff up in a few minutes. And if you're in the heat of holiday cooking and you're a few cups of stock short, kind of in trouble. And it's much preferable, right, to be able to walk to your pantry door, open it up, grab a box of chicken broth and use it, as it is to try to, whip some up or jerry-rig something on short notice, right? So no shame in that. Always, always have a bit of that in your back pocket for emergency purposes. I mean, this stuff lasts. I mean, if it's canned or even the box stuff will last a long time on your shelf. So there's no reason not to have a few of them on hand. Now, for stock, it's important not to cut corners. Remember, broth can be done in an hour or so, and it's a flavored liquid with meat or vegetables. Stock, I don't want to sound like a broken record here, but it has that, it's got that gelatin content that serves a very different purpose when it comes to cooking. And you can't get that extracted from the bones except for either very long and slow simmering in the traditional method or using a pressure cooker in the quick method. But you can't really make a stock in an hour or two on the stovetop. It just doesn't really work. So don't cut corners. Preferences will vary. But when it comes to stocks, I do not like to season my stock with salt or really too many other herbs. I like thyme. I like some parsley, but that's about it. When you use your stock later on, you can adjust the seasonings based on what other ingredients you're using and incorporating into your recipe. You can control more finely the amount of seasoning and salt and things like that that are in your dish if you're starting with a much more neutral stock. Broth, on the other hand, season as you would like to eat it as is, because again, that's sort of a finished dish and season it how you like. Just keep in mind as you use that later, you might not need to season your other dish, your other components as much. Speaking of ingredients, you can tweak the flavor profile of your stocks and broths very easily. In the Alton Brown recipe that I linked to, and I just mentioned it, parsley, garlic, thyme are kind of the big flavor components, but you could swap those out for, let's say, ginger and lemongrass if you want more of an Asian-inspired broth, or maybe toss in some dried ancho chilies for more of a Southwestern flavor, or maybe you really like strong herb flavor in your stocks. You could put tarragon and rosemary in there in addition to the thyme and the parsley, for example. So you can switch some of the aromatics, some of the herbs in your stocks and broths and really take your dish, your stock in a whole different direction. When it comes to the water in your stocks, try to use the cleanest water you can. If that means using, purified water in jugs, you could go that route, or filtered water or something like that. And always start with cold water. It helps bring the impurities to the surface when you start heating your stock. And it's always best, in my opinion, to bring your stocks to a really low simmer. I don't like to bring them to a boil because it really, it starts breaking up the ingredients. It starts clouding the stock. And I like to see my stocks as clear as possible. And by using a nice, gentle, low simmer and skimming the impurities and the scum that comes to the top occasionally while you're cooking will result in a much cleaner, crisper, nicer looking stock. And then finally, last tip, and this isn't really a tip, it's really more of a requirement. When you make stock or broth for that matter, especially the meat-based ones, it's really important that as soon as they're done and as soon as you've strained them, that you get them cooled down right away, right? They're this hot, nutrient-rich liquid. They're probably going to cool down below 140 Fahrenheit pretty quickly. And you don't want that sitting around for a long period of time because that's just inviting. I mean, that's just like very fertile ground for bacteria and things like that. So you want to try to get that broth in that stock down below 40 degrees Fahrenheit as quickly as you can. One method would be to put your strained liquid in some smaller stock pots, fill your sink with ice, and then kind of nestle your stock pots in the ice and let them cool down. Or a cooler, which is what Alton Brown uses, you know, like your typical cooler you take on your camping trips, fill that with ice, nestle your stock pots, your saucepans or whatever with your broth in there to get them down to temperature. If you're making smaller quantities, I usually like to store my stock in like 2-cup containers because that's typically about how much I use at any given time in a recipe. And if you have some dedicated freezer space, you could, and this is what I do and it works fairly well, is put that stock in small quantities, put them in their own corner of the freezer where they're not around other items in there. And, you know, you can get them cooled down fairly quickly that way. Don't just put them in your fridge because your fridge does not have the juice to cool down stock to the required temperature and the required amount of time, and you're just going to heat everything else up in your fridge. Okay, so that was my brain dump on stocks and broths. Hopefully that made some bit of sense. I probably rambled on like I usually do, but hopefully he got a little bit of something out of that when it comes to making stocks and broths. And like I said, at kitchencounterpodcast.com/124, I will put links to various recipes for these things there. Now, last thing I want to mention in this episode, because I've already said it's an important component for many people when it comes to side dish cooking, especially around the holidays, is this idea of cream soups. And the ready example that always pops to mind is the holiday classic, at least here in the U.S., green bean casserole. And to make that, of course, it usually calls for cream of mushroom or cream of chicken soup. And a lot of times you reach for the can of Campbell's or whatever condensed, where you add a little bit of water or milk to it. And then voila, you've got your cream of mushroom soup. You know, now that you've made your own vegetable stock or your own chicken stock, it's super, super easy to make a cream soup version homemade with just a couple of extra ingredients that you can use in your side dish cooking. So just for an example, and I'm not going to use exact specific measurements because you might need more liquid or less liquid. And when you make this, you kind of eyeball it anyway when I thicken a soup, when I make this cream soup. So let me just walk you through the process to give you an idea. And I think you'll be able to pick it up fairly easily. So for example, if we wanted to make a cream of mushroom soup homemade instead of using the store-bought canned stuff for your green bean casserole, here's what I would do. First of all, I'd grab that nice, rich vegetable stock that I made. I'd probably put about 1.5 cups of that into a saucepan. And then I want a little more mushroom flavor, especially if I didn't use mushrooms when I made the stock. And I'd probably take some button mushrooms and dice those up really finely and put them into the stock. And then I would simmer that for a while to kind of extract more of that mushroom flavor. Not too long, you know, 10 or 15 minutes. And then to make the cream soup out of that, I would probably take about 1/2 cup of whole milk, put that into the simmering liquid, let that come up temperature. And then I would take another 1/2 cup of whole milk. So we're talking about 1 cup of whole milk. So for the second 1/2 cup, I would probably mix that with about 2 tablespoons of all-purpose flour in a bowl, mix that so it becomes kind of a slurry. Remember, we talked about thickening sauces a while back, and a slurry is basically a combination of liquid and flour mixed to sort of it's not a doughy consistency. It's more like a paste. Sounds disgusting. It's not even a paste consistency. It's thick, but it's still runny. What you don't want to do is add this to your simmering liquid and turn it into dumpling. So there needs to be enough liquid where the flour is not like clumping together, right, and turning into little dumplings. So I would start to add that to my simmering liquid, whisking as I go. You'll probably use that whole bit that you just made with the 2 tablespoons of flour. And as it heats and simmers, it will thicken And then you'll probably want to season it depending on what you're starting with. Some salt, some pepper, maybe some seasoned salt instead. And then you just simmer it until you get your desired consistency. And then you can use that for your cream of mushroom soup base for your green bean casserole, for example. And if it's not thickening up like you want it, you could always make a little bit more of the slurry to put in there. But I just like to add a little bit at a time so I can kind of keep an eye on it as it's going. So you could do the same thing for a cream of chicken soup, right? You just take your chicken stock, basically do the exact same steps, and you're on your way there. So if you're looking to upgrade your flavor just a little bit in those side dishes that call for cream soups from the can, you know, make a couple of cups of your own cream soup from your stocks or your broths, and it'll be a lot better. And it's so easy. Well, that does it for another episode of the Kitchen Counter Podcast. So Teresa, thank you so much for the question on stocks and broths. Hopefully that was helpful. Go to the show notes to check out recipes for all of those things. I will have another episode out before Thanksgiving holiday here in the U.S., so keep an eye open for that. And again, if you're interested, head over to the Facebook group, the Kitchen Counter Coffee Break, at kitchencounterpodcast.com/group. Join us there if you have questions or want to share recipes or just need some like-minded home cooks to hang out with. We would love to see you there. All right, everybody. Once again, this is Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. And until next time, happy cooking.